Invite you now to listen to two different gospel stories. The first is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. And these scriptures from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. The word of the Lord. These two gospel stories help us to get at two important things regarding how we see others and our responsibility to them. The first story involves how we see ourselves and how that affects the way we look at others. The other story involves simply how we see others. Jesus knew that his hearers would have an emotional reaction to this story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee would have been assumed by all his listeners to be a good man. The tax collector would have been assumed not to be such a good man. Tax collectors were often fellow Jews who worked for the Roman government. And the Roman government was the ones who had taken over their land, and so they were being occupied by the Roman Empire. It was assumed that these tax collectors also took a little bit off the top for themselves. Jesus' hearers in this story sided with the Pharisee, and they identified with him. When we hear this story, we don't have so much of an emotional charge, because we are neither Jew, we are not a Pharisee or a tax collector. Let's change that for us a little bit now. What would you feel when you hear, two men went into a cathedral to pray. One a Democrat the other a Republican. Now, what just happened to you emotionally? Who did you assume was the good guy, and who did you assume was the bad guy? Who did you identify with? Who did you assume would toot his own horn? Who did you assume would beat his breast and ask for mercy? That's fun. Let's try that again. Two individuals went into a church to pray, one a man and the other a woman. Let's do that again. Two women went into a church, one straight, the other one gay. Let's do this one more time because I know we're having fun. Two persons entered into a place of worship to pray, one a Christian businessman, the other a Muslim cleric. By changing the two persons in this story, we begin to know that the story isn't about a Pharisee and a tax collector. The story is about you and me. It's about the way that we project value, worth, goodness, and righteousness upon others by assumption, simply because of a title, someone's gender, or a category that we place them in. As if a title or a gender or a category confers intrinsic value and character. They don't. Only individuals have values and character. And it's difficult to judge someone else's life from the outside. The original hearers of this story assumed Jesus would praise the Pharisee, but they were surprised at his response. Jesus asked them to look at themselves in light of the way the Pharisee and the tax collector looked at themselves. So let's do both. For a moment, let's you and I be the Pharisee. Take a moment right now to give thanks to God for not being like other people you know. Now come on, we all compare ourselves to others. And we all have people in our life with whom we win the comparison battle, right? We come up better than they are. Go ahead. Give thanks for who you are not like. So how does that feel? Feels kind of good, right? Did I not give you enough time, Greg, to go through all the people? Yes. So now let's do what the Pharisee did next. Let's make a list of the things that demonstrate that we are a good person. The Pharisee in the text said he fasted twice a week and he gave 10% of his income to the temple. That's amazing. We could use a few more Pharisees around here. Go ahead, make a list of what you do that makes you good. This little exercise of what we've just done comprises our estimation of ourselves as a good person. We're not as bad as these persons. And these are the good things we do. And you know, we are good people. But Jesus asks us to look at the tax collector. The tax collector does not compare himself with anyone else, nor does he make a list of the things that he's done that are good. He is aware of where he falls short, and he simply asks for mercy. Sometimes when we focus only on what makes us good, we miss the places where we need grace. Now, as a friend of mine in college used to say, it is good to be good, which seems so obvious, but we can become attached to our goodness. And we build castles around our goodness. And we defend our goodness. And out of our need to be good, which you can actually say out of our need to be better than, we forget compassion and justice. What we end up doing is we say often, thank God I'm not like them. Instead of asking, what would it be like to be them? Or how might I help? Our own goodness can sometimes become more important than the needs of others. I want to suggest a subtle distinction. Being good is ultimately about one's own self. Being loving is ultimately about relationship. The Pharisee's prayer in this text is a monologue. It's only about him. The tax collector's prayer is a dialogue. It is a relationship with God. A relationship with God will always communicate two things. You are loved beyond measure, and you are in need of mercy. The love beyond measure part is hard to communicate because it's beyond measure. But it slowly sinks in over time that good or bad, we are loved completely, entirely. And that kind of love changes us from the inside out. We begin to realize it's not so much about being good as it is about being loving and being loved. A seminary professor of mine once said, being good does not earn you love. Rather, you realize that you are loved by God, and that enables you to be good. Someone once said to Jesus, addressed him, and he said, good teacher. And Jesus responded to him, said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. We can never stand on our goodness. We might be really good people overall in comparison to most folks and do really good things, but it's not about seeing ourselves as good. It's about moving towards love. Now we're ready to look at our text in Matthew. In this text, Jesus asks us to see other people differently. When did we see you? The goats ask. Jesus makes a very clear identification. I am equal to the least of these. Each person, as Greg was trying to say in the children's sermon, is Jesus. Each person is Jesus. But he makes a point that he is especially identified with the ones in need. What we do to and for them, we do to and for Jesus. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector focuses on two distinct selves. They are individuals. But in this story in Matthew, Jesus is inviting us to expand our sense of self. Yes, you are you and I am me, but you and I are also a part of a larger whole, a oneness that includes each and every one. The psychologist Carl Jung put it this way, our soul is not in us, we are in soul. We are the world. In telling the story of the sheep and goats, Jesus collapses the two great commandments of love God and love your neighbor as yourself into one act of love. When we love others, we love God. We love the world, and we love ourselves. Because we are one in God. The key is love and seeing we are one. A man named John Newton was born in 1725 in London. At the age of 11, He went to sea working on a ship with his father. He served his country, England, aboard a man of war at the age of 17. And afterward, he served as a sailor aboard a slave ship. Eventually, he became a captain of his own slave ship. He was, by and large, a good man according to his day. But transporting African slaves in the hold of his ship began to get to him. He had a spiritual awakening at sea during a rough storm, and he took stock of who he was. He could no longer say, like the Pharisee, "Thank God I'm not like them." And he realized he wasn't as good as he thought he was. He suddenly became the tax collector. He saw his need for mercy. And he saw those slaves differently too. They were the very image of Christ to him. He quit sailing the seas and captaining a slave ship, and he became responsible for checking incoming ships for contraband and trafficking in slaves. At 40 years of age, he was ordained in the Church of England, and he is the author of the hymn, Amazing Grace. If we ask the question, what is our duty to others? I don't think that's the best question to ask. It's more a matter of, how do you see yourself? Are you constantly comparing yourself to others and being grateful that you're not like others only to build yourself up? Or do you see yourself as someone who needs mercy? And it's a matter of how we see others. The invitation for you and me is to see others as Jesus, as Christ. To see them as a part of the larger whole that we are also a part of. To see them this way helps us to truly love them as we have been loved. Amen. Would you please stand if you are able as we sing our sermon hymn in the Presbyterian Blue Hymnal number 407, Win a Poor One.